Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the Tuesday, May 11th, 2021, City Council meeting to order. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Joel, do you want to start?
No.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let us continue with the roll call, please.
Coke?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Milchewski?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Nay.
Chirulis?
Here.
Peterson is absent. We have a quorum.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, sorry.
Very nice. Thank you very much. We have a quorum. Next, we have a couple proclamations here. First one is National Suicide Prevention and Action Month proclamation. Okay, we're getting a head start on this, actually. Hope for the Day's 2021 National Suicide Prevention and Action Month proclamation, where September is known globally as Suicide Prevention Month. The National Prevention and Action Month proclamation was created to raise the visibility of the mental health resources and suicide prevention services available in our community. The goal is to start the conversation about mental health and the impact of suicide to help destigmatize the conversation and help connect people with the appropriate support services. And whereas, according to the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death among adults and the second leading cause among individuals between the ages of 10 and 34 in the U.S. And whereas more than 48,000 people died by suicide across the United States in 2018, with an average of 132 suicides completed daily. Whereas each and every suicide directly impacts a minimum of 100 additional individuals, including family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, and community members. And whereas Yorkville, Illinois publicly places its full support behind those who work in the fields of mental health, education, and law enforcement. Whereas global organizations like Hope for the Day and our local mental health partner, NAMI KDK, which is the Kane South, DeKalb, and Kendall counties, serve on the front lines of a war that many still refuse to discuss, as stigma regarding suicide and mental health issues is far too prevalent. Whereas I encourage all residents to take the time to understand the importance of mental health education and recognize that taking care of ourselves and others includes taking care of mental health. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, John Purcell, do hereby proclaim the month of September 2021 as National Suicide Prevention and Action Month in the United City of Yorkville, dated this 11th day of May 2021. So, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Joel, I'll give this to you. Mask up. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, thank you very much. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I have another proclamation. That's annoying. Apologize, it's not on the agenda. Okay. Whereas Joel Frieders has served the United City of Yorkville with his time, energy, talents, and outstanding service from 2013 to 2021. And whereas he was a dedicated member of the community and provided sound experience and colorful commentary while serving as various committee chairs. And whereas Joel Frieders is known as the Whisperer of Whispering Meadows for his dedication to the completion of road project in his ward. Whereas Joel Frieders will be remembered by his selfless acts to help others in starting the National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month Proclamation Project in 2017. Whereas Joel Frieders, with the start of his NSPAMP project, has reminded tens of millions of people nationwide to keep talking and that it is okay not to be okay. And whereas the United City Council, or excuse me, the Yorkville City Council and residents are most grateful for the contributions he has made throughout his years in public service. Now, therefore, I, John Purcell, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, do hereby honor Alderman Joel Frieders for his many years of loyal and dedicated service by bestowing the title of Grand Marshal for the 2021 City of Yorkville 4th of July Parade, and I would like to extend my personal best wishes for continued success in life's pursuits. Congratulations. Yeah.
I know that when I first got elected, people thought I was going to come in as a flip of tables. First of all, we can't flip those because they were built in like 1964, and you know that things that are built in the 60s are meant to last. So it's very difficult for me to assume that this would be the table that I would be flipping. But the only reason I ran for office was to get my roads done. And even though that took 6 years and I said I was going to run once and then be done with it, all I wanted to do was that one thing. I did it. It took 6 years and a lot of aggravation, especially in that room over there where there's not a lot of back and forth, because when an attorney tells me this is the way that it is, that's the way that it is. So being patient enough to not know if it was actually going to happen, but knowing that the most I could do was two terms, because I don't know what it is about Tuesday dinner. I really like eating at home on Tuesdays. So I think the pandemic taught me that I can still be at home and still be a participant in my community, but I knew that it was still too much because I stopped caring after the road got done. I don't lie to anybody. I stopped caring the second the roads were done. Of course, with the suicide proclamation and all of the conversations I was having, which I knew weren't just for people around me, they were more for me. I don't mind being selfish in that respect, but I love that guy with Big Matt. So it's difficult for me to see how he lost a couple years ago by 3 votes. I was the one chanting, recount, 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 damn the man. I still think he won that, but we'll let that go by the wayside. But I wrote 20 things to Maddie, and I sent it to him today in an email. I said, print it out, follow it. So I'm not going to say the curse words, but I'm going to read you the 20 things that I told Matthew Merrick, on how to be a good alderman in Yorkville, starting May 11th, 2021. Number one, read your packet before the meeting, not at the meeting. Number two, ask your packet questions of staff well in advance of the meeting so that every other elected official can read the answer to your questions, because they probably don't know either. And if they did, maybe the explanation given to you will give them a better understanding, or it'll reinforce their understanding. Number three, your opinions should change with new information. If they don't, you're not an adult, you're an a-hole. Number four, you don't have to have an opinion on everything. If you do, you need a hobby, or you're full of crap. Number five, if you ask someone a question, and every time you're almost done asking the question, they already have an answer for you, they're probably also full of crap, so ask someone else. Number six, and this is important, sometimes people just need to be heard. Remember that validating an opinion or a feeling you might not agree with is simple, basic human dignity, and it takes very little energy to let someone's baggage exist in front of you without feeling the need to hold their baggage and do something with it. Learn how to detect when somebody wants something from you. Just because you detected it does not mean you have to give it to them. Number seven, beware of people that introduce you to other people with two outstretched arms like you're a Fiero on a used car lot. If you waddle towards them, you are a puppy. Number eight, if there's only white people in the room, ask yourself why, then look out for the people that aren't in the room. I'll say that one more time for you. If there's only white people in the room, ask yourself why, and then look out for the people that aren't in the room. Number nine, don't be afraid to tell someone they're being a racist or a sexist, and they should grow the hell up. Number 10, if you're ever in doubt of what you should do or how you should vote, fast forward 2 or 3 years and read aloud what they'll say about you in the paper. And imagine your kid reading that aloud in front of their entire class. Are you proud, are you indifferent, or are you embarrassed? Aim for option one or two. Number 11, and this is important, do not be afraid to say, I don't understand, repeatedly. Bart is excellent with the dry erase markers, and he can draw you cartoons until the cows come home. Number 12, staff in this city are some of the best. If you don't believe me, ask any alderman in any other city around here. They know, because Yorkville staff takes it. Ask any city. If they ever open back up and you start meeting with other cities and other elected officials, they're jealous of you. Number 13, always trust Rob. Number 14, always question the alderman that votes no on things that no one else votes no on, just to be obstinate. There's a difference between being independent and intentionally divisive. Standing alone can be the honorable thing to do, but it can also mean you're just an a-hole. Number 5, the loudest people are often the least educated. We've learned that a lot in the last few years. Number 16, don't be afraid to let the library board call you nuts during a public meeting. Then don't be afraid to remind them that you remember them calling you nuts during a public meeting. And then don't be afraid to hint at becoming library board president just to prove you're nuts at a public meeting. Number 17, trust your gut, especially regarding the intentions of elected officials. Number 18, I got three left. Look out for the elected official playing the long game and warn everyone that you can. Number 19, let them underestimate you, but give them specific chances to understand you. And then number 20, and I mean this one the most. When one person is consistently talking about you behind your back, but every person they talk about you behind your back calls you and tells you everything that that person just said, let Funkhauser know before you leave. Then make your final words. Keep an eye on Funkhauser. That's it. Good luck. Don't screw this up.
Joel, thank you for those words. We do have a little gift bag today.
Wait, is it food?
I don't know what it is. It's a series of potholes. Now I'm going to say a couple things about Joel, not 20, I think 30 or 40. So Joel and I have been working together for 2 years, but Joel and I got off to just a fantastic start. It was, I think, maybe the first meeting, maybe the second meeting. We had a discussion about some stuff. I didn't quite go the direction he thought maybe I should on an issue, and he called me up to express his opinion. And as you know, Joel is very similar to me, has a lot of hair, and he's not afraid to voice his opinion, and sometimes with a few adjectives. And the thing I liked about that most was Joel and I, you know, exchanged a few pleasantries, we'll call them. We said our piece, and we moved on. That's the one thing I always like about you, Joel, is you're very passionate. You'll discuss the issue, and you'll move on to the next one. And I appreciate that to this day, and I always will. And I appreciate what you've done in 2 years I've been here, so thank you. Okay, I have nothing else on the mayor's report. Are there any comments by any other aldermen?
I have a comment. I call BS. You said after you got your roads fixed, you gave up Kerry. I've seen you in executive session, man. You never gave up Kerry, so good try. We're going to miss you around here, especially in executive session.
He has permission to sign my.
I'm going to talk to people who say that that's the posterior image you put out there. But what they don't know is this guy really thinks a lot inside. And he may not see his inside feeling, but if you needed to ask him something, that's the right person to ask.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Is there a motion to adjourn
Cena Die.
Darn, I'll get that Latin right.
Cena Die.
Mr. Frieders, is there a second?
Second.
I think Ms. Milshewski. And this does require a roll call because we're Zooming still.
Coke?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Plocher?
Nay. Stop.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. Seaver or short name at all?
Seaver.
Okay. So just, anyway, we start with Kenneth Cope from Ward 1. Ken, where are you at? Oh, that's right, over here. I don't know how you got over there. Come on up there. So what's up? You raise right hand, left hand.
Thank you.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready.
Go.
Ready? So Ken, I would ask you to repeat after me. This way. I, Kenneth Cope.
I, Kenneth Cope.
Having been elected to the office of Alderman Ward 1.
Having been elected to the office of Alderman Ward 1.
In the United City of Yorkville, in the county of Kendall aforesaid.
In the United City of Yorkville, in the county of Kendall aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office of Alderman Ward 1.
Of the office of Alderman Ward 1.
Of the United City of Yorkville.
Of the United City of Yorkville.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
I have all of them for later.
You don't want me to sign this one?
No.
Oh. Okay, so next we have Mr. Arden Joel Poacher from Ward 2, and I think he has family members going to do this one, so I can stay out of the way. So do you want this one?
You want to stay on the left side?
Yeah, get away. Do you want one of them to sit here?
No, you guys have to stay over there.
Slide over there.
So you guys gotta read the first part, and then I'll repeat it.
I,
Arden Joe Poacher.
I, Arden Joe Poacher, have been elected to the office of Alderman Ward 2 in the United City of Yorkville, in the county of Kendall, aforesaid.
Having been elected to the office of Alderman Ward 2 in the United City of Yorkville, in the county of Kendall, aforesaid. Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the state of Illinois.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of Alderman Ward 2 in the United States according to the best of my ability.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of Alderman Ward 2 of the United City of Yorkville according to the best of my abilities.
Okay, now we're on to Ward 3. We have Matthew Merrick. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Your family's gonna do this too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'll bring my mini me up for this one.
Slide over here. Thank you.
I, Matthew Merrick,
having been
elected to the office of Alderman Ward 3.
Having been elected to the office of Alderman Ward 3.
In the United City of Yorkville and the County of Kendall.
In the United City of Yorkville and the County of Kendall.
Aforesaid, do solemnly swear or affirm.
Aforesaid, do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office of Alderman Ward 3.
Of the office of Alderman Ward 3.
Of the United City of Yorkville according to the best of my abilities.
Of the United City of Yorkville according to the best of my abilities. Congratulations. These are his, right? Look at that. And finally, we have Ward 4, Seaver Carruth. And I just see him. All right. And Seaver, you have family doing this as well, correct?
We have our granddaughter.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Thank you. That's fantastic.
I, state your name.
I, Seaver Carruth.
Having been elected to
to the office of Alderman Ward 4.
Having been elected to the office of Alderman Ward 4.
In the United City of Yorkville, in the County of Kendall, aforesaid.
In the United City of Yorkville, in the County of Kendall, aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
I solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of Alderman Ward 4.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of Alderman Ward 4.
Of the United City of Yorkville, according to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Fantastic. That's always fun. That is always fun. Okay, now that we have sworn in the newly elected officials, I will call to order the first meeting of the new council. Oh yeah, you can come sit down, sorry. Oh hell yeah, you're part of the team now. Yeah, come on in. Hey, does he have a name tag? Or a name badge or whatever? Nameplate?
Electrically it's floating around, I know.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Wow. You guys are playing jokes on Bart already.
At least I have.
Excellent. So now that we're calling the meeting to order, I would like a roll call by the clerk, please.
Coke?
Yes.
Transier?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Merrick?
Here.
Chiroulis?
Here.
Peterson?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Very nice. So, I have no amendments to the agenda. I gotta look around and get used to where all the people are. No amendments to the agenda? Okay, so we have a presentation before we will do a short recess. If anyone wants to do one, we'll do one. So we have the police department has a college intern. Who's going to do the introduction? Chief?
I will. Yes, sir.
Chief Jensen.
All right. Okay, come on up. Actually, we can stay back here with everybody else. So we are actually starting the program. While we've had an internship program for a while, we've revamped our program. And one of the most important things, at least in our opinion, is making sure that the people we bring in understand every portion of the city along with the police department, and obviously the city council meeting is one of the most important parts. So we want to introduce Kendall Watkins. Kendall is a Illinois State University student, going to graduate in the fall of 2021 with a criminal justice degree and a minor in political science. Kendall has, he's a Yorkville High School graduate. He moved to Yorkville almost 20 years ago. He came here actually in spots for quite 20 years. But graduated in 2017, correct? Was an athlete and played football for Yorkville. Was the homecoming king of Yorkville. So I guess I'm going to say kind of born and raised Yorkville, pretty close to it. So we're going to bring Kendall into every aspect of our police department. We are utilizing this as a recruitment effort. We want to bring kids that were raised in Yorkville and can work for schools to this police department. It's such a fantastic city. And I think Kevin would be a great addition to our police department. We're just going to start as an intern first. So Kendall's going to be with our field operations division. He's going to work with the guys in the street, the men and women in the department here, and he's going to be in investigations. He's going to work in the school resource officer position. We'll have him work with our CIT team, KenCom, our communication center, corrections. We're going to try to get him in every aspect of the criminal justice field. So I want to welcome Kendall to the Yorkville PD family.
You can stand back there. Good to meet you. Well, here's what I'm noticing. Do we have any cops here in Yorkville that were born and raised in Yorkville?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm with you.
You went to Yorkville school too.
When I was 12.
Oh, that's close.
Not as long as Chief or Kenny, but fun fact for you.
One fact.
There's a 30-year separation. They were both homecoming kids.
That's just fantastic. Okay, we'll take a little recess, and then we'll come back and do real business. We have water out there, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to take a long recess. Does anyone want to take a recess or not?
No, I think everybody
bailed. Okay, we'll now bail, but I guess recess is over. Thank you. It started raining. Let's come back inside and get back to work. Okay. Public hearing. Do we have any public hearings today? No, I got to go over here. Okay. Citizen comments on any items on the agenda? Are there any citizens who'd like to comment on the agenda? Anyone in Zoom land like to comment on the agenda? Seeing none, or hearing none, we have the consent agenda. There's the minutes of the regular meeting from April 27, 21, and bill payments for approval totaling $1,038,977.46. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Milshewski?
Second.
Second by Tarulis. Roll call, please. Did I do that right?
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Well, now we're on to the mayor's report. And one thing I've learned in life is sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And we had a couple things with the Parks and Rec that maybe didn't go as well as we hoped. We move on and we talk about something that's exciting. And on May 27th, we have our first ever inaugural, our first annual inaugural would be more appropriate. Margaritas and Mile, that's downtown, that's 2 weeks from Thursday, holy cow, already. And it's the nice thing about it, it's the last day of school in Yorkville. 5 to 9 downtown, we're gonna have a mariachi band, some Mexican music, some games for the kids, there's gonna be some margaritas, there's gonna be tacos. It's gonna be a fantastic event, especially if the weather's like today. Tim, anything we want to add about it? We've got some sponsors. Anything you want to talk about?
No, just looking forward to it. It's from 5 to 9 on Thursday, May 27th, and we're working closely with the businesses. If you go to the Yorkville Facebook page or website, they will have all the specials the businesses are doing that day.
So and we do have a few sponsors, don't we? We have the Superior Beverage, Masola Marketing Group, and Heritage Cabinetry, correct?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. So if anyone else wants sponsors, we're welcome to.
And one other one, John, Pasola Media Group.
Oh, Media Group. Okay, I called it Marketing Group. Thank you very much. That's fantastic. Yeah, they've all been big supporters, so we appreciate that. Okay, that's really all I had for now. Now we come to some real exciting stuff. Selection of Mayor Pro Tem for fiscal year 2022. Mr. Plocher.
I know, they checked again. He did a lovely job last time.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Or no, is there a second? Let me back up.
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Koch. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Present.
Motion carries.
Very nice. I just love that. That's 3 years in a row, I think, isn't it?
It's such a stressful job.
You know what? I'm taking off a bunch of meetings this year. Well, I'm not really planning on it. Okay, next, we have appointments to city council committees. Do they have that on their desk?
Yeah, it was emailed to everybody prior to the meeting. The roster should be at your desk. We know they've got a copy here.
So, is there a motion to approve the committees?
One move.
Mr. Tarulis, is there a second?
Second.
Is that Mr. Merrick?
Yep.
Awesome, thank you. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, and we do have the appointments of department heads. Where's that motion in here? Oh, I have that. Something. I just wasn't looking in the right file papers. Okay, thank you. So we have the administrator and the police chief for 2-year terms, the city clerk, the director of finance and treasurer, the director of public works, director of parks and rec, building inspector, zoning officer, the city attorney, city engineer, for the other separate,
yes,
all for 1 year. Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Second by Clocher. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very well. Thank you all very much. And I know they thank you too. Next, we're looking for a motion to appoint a deputy clerk, and that would be Jory. How's your pronounce last name? Baylin?
Baylin.
Baylin. Sorry. Sorry, Jory. You're listening. For a 1-year appointment. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Milchewski?
Second.
Second by Koch. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very well, thank you. Is that everything for appointments? Did I cover them? Make sure I've been duly recognized and appointed. Excellent. Now we have 2021-27, the ordinance authorizing and providing for an issuance of general obligation bonds, alternate revenue source, series 2021. City of Yorkville, Kendall County, the aggregate amount, principal amount of, what is the aggregate principal amount, Rob?
$8.25 million, man.
$8.25 million, just like it states there. I should have just read that. Thank you. For the purposes of acquiring real property located within the city at 651 Prairie Point Drive and vacant lot 2 adjacent thereto. That sounds funny, lot 2 adjacent thereto. Converting the existing building at 651 Prairie Point Drive into a new Yorkville City Hall and acquiring fixtures, furnishings, equipment for use therein, constructing and repairing roads, renovating and repurposing the existing Yorkville City Hall, prescribing all the details of said bonds, and providing for the imposition of taxes to pay principal of and interest on such bonds. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
By Mr. Clocher?
Second.
Second by Mr. Merrick. Rob, you want to just give an update on this, like the rates and that type of thing? It turned out pretty well, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I sent out an email about maybe half hour, 45 minutes ago, and our copy should be there of the packet materials that show the results. So on page 50, there's a nice memo written by the city's financial advisor, Spirit Financial. I just kind of highlighted the bidding process. We had 5 different firms, announced 33 separate bids. The winning bidder was a firm called Northland Securities in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the lowest true interest cost of about 0.72%. From there, if you look on page 55, the table of the new 2021 bond that shows the various debt service amounts. Debt service amounts will fluctuate between $540,000 and $545,000 per year. Bond, which is December 30th of 2040. The front of the materials tonight is the revised bond ordinance, blanks from the original ordinance that was included in the packet. Obviously, the big change is all the blanks that say principal amount have been filled in. $8.25 million, which is the amount set by council on April 13th. Then also on page 14 of the ordinance, they've updated the principal amounts as well, based on the bid results from this morning. And then if you're interested, turn to page 66. It's a red line version of the ordinance. Again, most of it is just updating the amount of principal. But if you want to see those changes from bond council, there as well. So I'm going to Happy New Year's Eve University. We did have Anthony Michelli with us from Spear Financial as well on the Zoom call. We also answer any questions as well.
So questions or comments from the council? So Rob, just can you repeat for me, what was about the average return or average rate on these?
The average coupon is about 2.3.
2.3, what's that, Rob?
2.3.
2.3, excellent. Those were good rates. And, okay, I guess that's all the questions I have. Other questions? Well, Anthony, thanks for joining us. I don't know if anyone has a question. Let's do a roll call, please.
Transier?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
Tarulis?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have an ordinance. Oh, this actually, no, this can be no action. So this is for, I got too far. So this is regarding the Grand Reserve development. And I think Bart's reached out to most, if not all of you, and explained that there are some things that we're just looking to re-vote on. And Bart, maybe you can explain it better. There's some incentives, actually, to help us. We get some funding for Mill Road to redo that. Some other funding up front. We are looking to accept one of the pods a little bit earlier than we normally would. But Bart will explain that. And we should be voting on this in 2 weeks. Is that correct, Bart?
Yes, that's the plan.
Yeah, so we wanted to have it out for some discussion tonight, even though we don't have the final document, just because it's a lot. It's like eating out one bite at a time.
Okay, so I'm going to wander here for a second. So what I passed out was two maps of Grand Reserve, and I have larger maps here in these to cross-reference of that for the meeting. And I didn't highlight it on the one map, but if you circle or just mentally note Unit 6, Neighborhood 17 on the far south end of the subdivision, that is the secondary unit that I'm going to reference in a second as it regards a like a land use slot within the subdivision. So, and again, most of you have heard this information singularly. The update I have since I talked to most of you last time is that we still do not have a draft agreement from the Grand Reserve developer yet. We do anticipate to receive it tomorrow. As soon as we've reviewed it at a staff level, had a chance to kind of crunch the information in it, and we'll forward it to everybody, potentially put it up as a supplemental packet to this meeting or a public document for the next meeting, that way it's out there. And that way, you know, we've got a couple weeks to look at it before the developer is requesting a vote at the May 25th City Council meeting. So the basics of the deal are involved a density swap within the subdivision. The city gets a clarification of parks, land, cash fees, and then also gets a, I don't know if my notes in front of me here, I'm gonna pull it up. Christy, what's the other part that I'm skipping?
Mill Road.
Mill Road, thank you. All right. Yeah, so the general is the city gets funding for Mill Road, and the parks land cash, and then gives up a land use density swap within the development. So Mill Road, we've talked about a bunch. There's still a obligation for the developer to give us $2.8 million, roughly, for all the perimeter roads in the subdivision. And there's another map in there in case you want to see where the other money has been spent. Within, generally, 30 days of us approving whatever document for the Grand Reserve incentive agreement, they will send us, you know, $2.8 million so we can go and complete it, hopefully within this calendar year. On the Parks Land Cash side, there's just shy of about $1 million left in developer obligations to the city from the developer for various parks in the subdivision. And generally, they've okayed that, so they've reaffirmed their obligation to do that. And we've changed the timing of those payments to make them more clear. The original 2003 Grand Reserve Annexation Agreement basically said there's going to be $2.6 million in parks land cash fees throughout the subdivision, and we're going to kind of figure out which parks that go in at a later date. So it's kind of unclear what the total obligation is there. So now they're saying there'll be approximately $1 million that they still owe us. They're going to give us about $150,000 within 30 days of approving this agreement for some old issues that we're clearing up. They're also going to pay us $500,000 within a year of approving the agreement that we can use for any parks or recreation issue that comes up, including a facility. So we've negotiated that in there, so we have some flexibility. We can use it for parks within subdivision, but we could also use it to build, you know, some sort of building at some point in the future. And then the remaining $250,000 will be due at different times when final plats are developed in the area of the subdivision that I noted at the start of the conversation. So generally, there's three units on the far south end of the subdivision. They're farm field now. There aren't really any plans for them. There's no drawings. That was kind of no man's land when the agreement was approved. And they just said, we're going to stick some single family and duplexes down there, and you'll be entitled to build them, but we're going to work out the details later. And so they said, when we're ready, we're going to come to you with a land use plan. We're going to ask you to approve it. And then when you approve it, we'll pay you $100,000 or $75,000, depending on the park there. So those things are definitive, and they have trigger points within the agreement, and so it clarifies those issues long term. Okay, so that's generally what the city is getting from a big picture perspective. The developer then is asking for a land use swap. So within the map that I gave you, there is a highlight for neighborhood 8, unit 9, so on the far east end of the subdivision. And generally, that was planned for 220 duplex units, and the developer does not want to build duplexes anymore. They want to build single family. So they are willing to actually downgrade the density of that unit and build about 110 single family units. They can't do that timing-wise within their existing schedules, because the process to even zone like that usually takes 30 to 60 days with city council approval and public hearings. But we figured out a way within the PUD agreement and rules that were in place at the time, and we have documentation that we'll send out here hopefully tomorrow when we get the agreement, that shows it's within staff authority to actually swap density within this subdivision, even though it is 1,000 acres and 2,600 units, approved in 2003. So the counter unit that would be going up in density is unit 16, neighborhood 17, so that's where I fly at the far south end of the subdivision. As you can see from the map there, it does, it is adjacent to Route 34, but then it's also adjacent to the Oak Lawn, Parkway Drive, Linden Ave, and Sunset Street, unincorporated subdivision right there. So the basics of the rule would be that unit 9, neighborhood 8 goes down in density, and unit 16, neighborhood 17 goes up in density, so returning single family to duplexes, which, could be an issue, obviously, if residents don't want to live next to duplexes. Forecasting that to be an issue, what we've negotiated into the agreement would be that switch occurs on paper, so allowing them to proceed with the construction of single-family homes in Unit 9, Neighborhood 8, on the east end of the subdivision. And that when they finally come to us for approval of Unit 16, Neighborhood 17, which again is farm field, unplanned, that they would be able to submit it, and we would be able to review it under really any metric that we want. So at the time, we could say, we are not okay with the density, we're not okay with the layout, the architectural, whatever the issue is, we would have the discretion of the authorities to be able to say, no, we're not going to do that, you're not automatically entitled to those duplex units. So again, that's the concept. We've been working through language with the developer. Hopefully that comes in tomorrow, that you can see the outcome of that, but that's the general concept of the big parts of the deal. Within the deal, there are a number of smaller components. Early acceptance of Unit 20, which is Neighborhood 2. It's just west of the BNSF railroad tracks, north of Mill Road. It includes Schober Drive and a couple other streets there. They are going to be 100% complete with the infrastructure very shortly. Final lift of asphalt, sidewalks, parkway trees, whole nine yards, it'll be done. There's only about 45% of the homes that are built there, though, that are complete. Our codes, in order to accept a subdivision unit, are about 70%. So we've negotiated, and they've asked for, and we think it's okay to grant early acceptance of that one unit in the subdivision for acceptance to the city. So the risk there, obviously, is that if everything is nice and pristine in the subdivision, and you've still got, I don't know, I'm just eyeballing it here, 20 homes left to build or 30 homes left to build, you've got that amount of homes worth of construction traffic that are going to go in and beat up the roads or the sidewalks, etc. So for a little context, when we started negotiating with the developer almost 10 years ago at this point, 7-8 years ago to kickstart the subdivision during the last recession, we were telling them at the time, again, different mayor, different city council, that we would do early acceptance on the entire subdivision, every single unit, current and prospective, just to get the subdivision moving. Obviously, that never was finalized. The market is a lot different now, and so they're willing to just do this one unit, which is pretty much complete infrastructure-wise anyway. There's one other component, too, that's a minor component, which is escaping me at the moment. Christy, hoping you can jump in.
It's the building permit fees.
Oh, yes, the building permit fee swap. Thank you. So we have switched impact fees and building permit fees and other developments in the city over time, generally to give us more flexibility in how we use those fees. So the concept is, I'll take public works fees. You know, at some point we were supposed to create an ordinance that says every new home that comes to Yorkville needs to pay us $700 in order to offset our costs of buying new trucks, new facilities, etc. So when we take in those fees, we can only use them for public works purposes. And so as we've seen over time, we have a lot of needs and a little fees, and you know, from time to time during recessions, we need flexibility with those funds sometimes. Sometimes there aren't public works vehicles that need to be bought immediately, which is a hard concept, I know, to grasp at this point. We've said we want flexibility, so what we proposed, and the developers agreed, is more on our end. It's just a one-for-one swap. So we would decrease impact fees, which are restricted in their use, and then increase building permit fees, which are unrestricted in their use. So we can use them for whatever purposes we want. They go into the general fund, they go towards operational and capital projects, and gives us a little bit more flexibility. Doesn't mean we have to do that. We can take those fees, take them in as building permit fees, and then ship them to the public works department and the police department so that they're not shortchanged, but we can make the decision later to do that. So again, I know that's a concept we've talked about before. If we're not comfortable with that piece of it, for whatever reason, we can back that out and developer won't have an issue. And that's kind of a minor component of the agreement. So those are the basics. And again, I've mentioned pieces of it to you individually, but this is your first chance to at least hear it as a group and talk about it. Again, it's still a fluid situation waiting for draft documents. We hope to have everything ready for your vote in 2 weeks. But if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them and answer them as I can.
Questions? Mr. Culp.
I have two. So the swap that we're going to do, the unit 16 neighborhood 17 area?
Yes.
That will probably start sooner than later, right? So developing. And if that's the case, how is the entrance into that piece going to be done? It's on 34 that I see, so I don't get it.
So all of unit 24 neighborhood 19, unit 17 neighborhood 18, unit 16, neighborhood 17, so there's three pods right there. There's no infrastructure there. It is like totally barren of any planning and infrastructure. They have told us that they have no imminent plans within the next 5 to 10 years to develop that, if at all. So obviously at some point or another, depending on what other properties are available in Yorkville, that piece may be more or less, you know, desirable to develop. But they are okay with the swap and then restricting it, because they have absolutely no plans to build out of anyone in the near future.
Well, do you think in the design process, though, that these side streets with how you go into this section, or what do we think, how are we going to do that?
That's a good question. I know connectivity of older subdivisions and newer subdivisions have been a major sticking point in 2002, 2003 when this was being discussed. I don't recall off the top of my head, and I'm looking at Christy to see if she can correct me, but I don't recall there being any specific rules for connectivity between the older and the newer subdivisions in the 2003 agreement. I would assume that that would be up to the developer at the time to propose. I don't know what the rules are.
Text messages
between. I don't know what the rules are between, like, can we just connect it and have it be a public right of way, or do we have to ask the county or the township? So that would be something we would explore at that time.
So all of that, the plan. planning, the land planning would be part of the final plat process. So it would be from a staff technical perspective to connect, but we'll see what's available when they develop the site, what's proposed.
Yeah, I would anticipate that those residents over there are probably going to have a pretty strong feeling one way or another. They might be okay with it. They might think it's the worst idea in the world, and that we should probably be taking that into account whenever they decide to plan it. And then the only other question I had was, I know when I was on park board when this first came in, they were really stringent about the parks. And like, I don't remember, I think we had to actually give a certain amount of money designated to each park through the subdivision. So it sounds like that's changed from them days. There definitely was a concept to spread the money out between the parks. I don't know that I've seen an allocation of all $2.6 million between all the parks. I think they programmed some of it and then left some of it unprogrammed. The part they programmed, my understanding is that between different developers over time, different staff members over time here, they kind of just went everywhere. I think what happened was, and Tim and Christine correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we have proof that both the developer and the city spent more than they were intending within the subdivision on the parks, because different grants came off or other things happened. So I don't think either party is getting shortchanged as much as it was just like somebody had an idea and then they kind of threw it out.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Mr. Funkhouse.
So the fees that we're talking about in the roads, those are already in there for you. We're clarifying the items that we're talking about. So that's really the only changes. Clarification of timing.
Yes, and actually accelerating the timing.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so okay, right. It's already in the earth, and that's, we're good with that. So the issue that I have is the process for the density swap. We're talking about an administrative rezone, is what that is. That's where my concern comes in. Knowing how this process works, I had some concerns about that process, doing it administrative. That's why we have the public hearing process so that people can be heard, so that they know what's coming, it's presented publicly. To do this administratively, it does not appear to me that that is a minor change of a PUD, so that's what we had talked about, that it's under minor change. Whenever you talk about zoning, that's not minor. That's a big picture issue, I think, especially when you're talking one neighborhood from the mid-north to the south, you're, you know, plopping 100 units or one to another. So for me to be able to support that, I'd want to see the written background on that. I want to see the highlighted PUD ordinances that we have that show that where we can do that. The case law state statute that shows we can't do that. I don't want us to get into a position where, you know, we're going to have possible legal issues with somebody getting all ticked off as its own one thing according to the annexation agreement. And then we go, so I want to be very careful on this. I just want to make sure that we have the support that shows we can do it administratively.
Understood.
Other questions or comments? Okay, so seeing no further comments, this will be on the agenda for 2 weeks from tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we're on to Public Works Committee report. Do we have any reports? What is that?
No report.
Okay. Actually, this is Mr. Merrick now.
Is it Merrick?
Yeah,
sorry,
yes.
We could say it.
No report. Awesome. Economic Development Committee. That's Mr. Peterson. He told me he's not speaking much. There's no report there.
Public report.
Oh, very nice. Public Safety. That's Mr. Transier.
No report.
And Admin, Alderwoman Milchus.
No report.
Thank you all very much, man. Okay. Now we have the park board. Is there anything from the park board, Mr. Evans?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
I believe they're meeting again soon, aren't they?
Next Thursday, May 20th.
Oh, week before, man. Your next few Thursdays are packed, chock full of excitement. Woo-hoo. All right. That's good. Planning and Zoning Commission. Christy, do we have anything exciting to talk about?
Not in this meeting, no.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
City Council report. Anyone from the council have anything? Okay. Should hear you all. You said no report. Okay. City Clerk?
No report.
Excellent. How about Community and Liaison reports? Do we have anything? Dan, did you hear anything from last night? Oh, you had a good baseball game. How did that go?
I had baseball last night, so unfortunately I was not at the library board meeting, but I heard that there was quite a robust discussion.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that's exciting is the whole intention of that discussion last couple months was to bring more people to the library, and there was like 50 or 60 people there. So that part, it served its purpose real well. I was excited about that. Any other community liaison reports?
Yeah, just like this, Dave, and we're partnering with Tim on this in Parks and Rec, because we do have the YEF Parks and Rec golf outing on June 10th.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
So we're still looking for sponsors. We're still looking for some sign-ups for that. With Tim's blessing, YEF is planning on having a booth at Margarita's de Mayo down there to try and capture that and kind of get the word out. So if you guys want to spread that for us, that would be great. And Tim, if you guys need anything from us, or if you need to reach out to us for anything, just let us know.
We are all good, but spots are filling up fast if anybody wants to register at all.
Thanks, Tim.
Awesome. Tim, and thanks for letting them put their booth downtown. That's fantastic. I think it's a great idea. Okay, any other community or liaison? Mr. Funkhauser, do you have anything from KenCon?
Nothing for
KenCon. Oh, I thought you had something exciting from KenCon.
No, not for KenCon. But what I do have is, this is National Police Week. I got a whole thing, it's quick, I'll read here. In 1962, President Kennedy proclaimed May 15th as National Peace Officers Memorial Day, and a calendar week in which May 15th falls is National Police Week. Established by a joint resolution of Congress in 1962, National Peace Week pays special recognition to those law enforcement officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty for the safety and protection of others. So for those who have chosen to put safety first and the welfare of others first, I do have great respect for their dedication. This week, residents, to show your support, you can put a blue ribbon out or turn one of your lights on your house blue in order to show that. So I just want to recognize that for our officers for all they do.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Very nice. Others? Now we're on a staff report. Any staff report items?
No reports.
Wow, we're moving along. Now we have a couple exciting names for the second or the continued mayor's report. Oh, I want to tell you all something. It has nothing to do with anything. Well, it does on earlier part of the agenda. Nothing to do with any of this here. So as you all know, you got your committee assignments. Just right before the meeting, relatively speaking. And I want you to know, Bart here, it took him three or four times to title it Mayor Purcell instead of Mayor-elect Purcell. I had corrected him three or four times. He cut and pasted from 2 years ago. Just want you all to know, even Bart's not infallible. He doesn't make occasion on Mayor. So that really just was off the cuff there. I didn't even have that written down. But it is true. Next thing we had at the staff meeting at 4 o'clock today, good meeting. We had a very short but spirited discussion on, listen, Mr. Peterson, listen carefully, Kennedy Road. I've had several comments on the speed and maybe it's the safety of kids crossing between Autumn Creek North and South. And so we're going to put up some, what is it, like speed signs or warning signs? What are they, Mr. Jensen?
We're going to put the message board with a speed trailer.
Yes, so we're going to put those up there here in the next week, hopefully this week, but if not next week. Just, I've had some comments on that, several, and just want to make you all aware. See, that's kind of your neck of the woods, too, so maybe you're getting some of those calls, too. Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, can you tell me again what time that was? About?
Which item?
When you were here doing the city business? It was around 3 o'clock?
Yeah, that was... maybe 3, 4, I don't know, 5.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah, somewhere in there, yeah. That's correct. Yes, I was counting, though. I wasn't. So, we also have the Prairie Point building update. Mr. Olson, he's thrown for a curve there.
Okay. Two updates for everybody. First is that I would expect a design contract with Corey and Clark to be brought to the next city council meeting for the design drawings for the renovation of the Prairie Point building. We are in the process of finalizing some changes to the contract, and hopefully we'll be able to send that out here at some point next week for a vote or your consideration on May 25th. It is going to take us all the way through construction process, utilizing Corrigan Clark as kind of the city's design engineer and an expert as issues come up. So what we are then going to pivot to is the conversation as to how we actually bid out the work and then manage the construction of it. And so I'm going to do my best to muddle through a couple different options, construction manager or general contractor. That we have Steve Rash, our facilities manager, and Pete Ramos, our code official here, who will be able to speak to it in depth and answer your questions if you have it. But you know, internally, we're kind of in debate. We've had people use both methods. They brought up some pros and cons. And so before we finalize our staff recommendation, we wanted to see what your experience or preferences were, because I know a few of you have done commercial construction projects on the site. So for those that aren't aware, general contracting generally is going to be like a water main project. We're going to put everything in one package. We're going to say we want floors 1, 2, 3 renovated. We want it to look like this. We want to change this wall. It's going to say, you know, we want it turnkey. People are going to bid on that wholesale, and we're going to get bids that are going to be $4 million, $5 million, you know, $5.5 million, whatever it ends up being. And basically then we pick a general contractor. They pick all of their team members and subcontractors, and then that's the price for the city. So generally, the general contractor then is at risk if the project goes over budget, within certain guidelines, obviously. And if the project is under budget, at the end of it, they use less materials or we change it, generally they can achieve some cost savings. So there's a little bit of cost certainty for the city, but it comes as a result of flexibility in contract. So, you know, we don't get to pick our subs, generally. We don't get to bid that out to local people. It's generally going to be whoever the general contractor is going to come in with their team, and if there's somebody out there that we don't like, you know, we have limited options to be able to say, we prefer not to work with this contractor. The second method, construction management, is a little bit more flexibility in the contracting perspective, where we would put out an RFP, or an RFP, and would say, we want to work with the construction manager. People submit proposals to us. We basically would review those proposals, interview the construction firms, pick one and say, okay, you're our guy to go through you know, the construction process. Then we have some positions we have to make on bidding. And generally, it's more open-ended than the general contracting. We would say, we're gonna bid out all the plumbing, all the electric work, or you know, we're gonna categorize it, do the contracting ourselves, and then any overages or underages, at that point, generally the cost can be, you know, recouped by the city. The construction manager at that point is not at risk for overages. That's entirely on the city. And so that's, you know, one of the drawbacks there. So it gives you more flexibility, but there's less cost certainty. We have members of our internal staff that are reviewing this that have said we should do general contracting because this is a relatively simple project in the grand scheme of things. You're not adding on, you're not doing anything crazy to the interior, you're basically going to repaint the floors, move some walls, etc. And then we have other members that have done the construction management and have said, I've had issues with subcontractors on other jobs, and I like to be able to pick and choose who's coming into the building. It's a police station, and so that's a concern. So that's where we're at. We wanted to give you the chance to talk about it as a group, give us your feedback. That way, when we're formulating our staff recommendation, we've got a little bit of early feedback from the council members. So, again, I've talked to most of you individually, but this is your first chance to talk about it as a group. So, happy to answer any questions, and then again, Pete and Steve are here if you have questions about the Rosemary County.
Mr. Trent here.
If we choose option B, which would be the city having more control and discretion. Can you swap them, or I guess, can you split them up, right? Can you say, for the City Hall administration, we're going to go with a general contractor, just do what needs to be done, do it by this day, otherwise it's going to cost you X, Y, and Z as it goes over dates. And can you say, for the police department, because you did mention it is a police department, security concerns, can you have, can you split them up? Have general, less control for City Hall, and more control and more authority for the police department?
Yeah, I assume that there's some flexibility in how we divide it up. Which its own pros and cons, obviously, as to how we do it. So, Steve, do you have any additional insights?
Can you, either one of you have comments, can you at least come to the mic so we can pick it up for the record? For the record, we try to do this by the record, follow Robert's rule.
In general, you could do that. You'd be complicated the process exponentially, honestly. We were talking earlier, is when you have a general contractor, what you get is more of a seamless integration of the process because they all work together all the time and just the work gets done faster. You could technically split it up, I'd imagine it more, but I think Kathy would have to answer that 100%, but you might have to have two totally separate buildings. In the past, I've worked on projects where, and I'm sure Joe has as well, where it's security areas, so every person that comes in and out of the building has to be vetted. So your background check to the same standard you would be if you were coming to work for the police department. So any red flags that pop up, you wouldn't be allowed, because a lot of our records, Lisa's records, is that those are have to be held also security. So that can be a standard in the job protocol, staff, everything. And that's the only reason why Steve and I don't want to speak for Steve, but we prefer the general contractor aspect is because, well, it gives us a little less control. It increases the timeline is going to be, you might come down with you get a general contractor, the project might take a year. Where if you go with the construction manager, you might be looking at 16, 17 months. Because everyone needs to learn to work together, and we're hiring a plumber, and then who's responsible? The city's responsible for those integration issues. So that's our preference.
And a construction manager is going to result in a lot more staff hours involved in things where general.
Initially, we'd be managing all the contracts, so there'd be more about bidding, awards, managing the contracts, managing all the checks, that type of stuff. It could be split up. The only thing against doing that would be you'd almost have to have two different bid packages. So now you're bringing your architect and engineer in to do more drawings, which is going to raise the cost on that contract also.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Chairman?
No, thank you.
Others? Mr. Fletcher?
I worked that way with the hybrid, and I actually was the in-house guy that they said that he can't use. It delays it and it causes problems. Because now you're working for the owner, not the general contractor, and the general contractor knows, so it never works as great as you think it's going to.
And to that point with the GC, they usually have their subs already under contract with them, the plumber, the electrician that they use on a normal basis, so they know their routine. They can get the job done faster. Granted, they might make some more money off of it, but the bids could also be more based on that.
Mr. Pulcher, anything else?
No, that's it.
Are we just going around the room then? Mr. Funkhauser?
Sure. I've worked on both types of these projects as well, both forms. The general contractor, you know, we're bidding it out, we're basically doing low bid. And then whatever you end up with, you sign the contract if it's, you know, say $8 million. If they come in under budget, that's theirs. That's how that one works. So if they can be more expeditious in their time or the materials, as long as they meet the minimum requirement of our bid package, I don't want to say cut corners, but there are ways of internally value engineering in order for them to make more money for themselves. The downside of that is we don't have any say in this, because as long as it meets the bid spec, that's it. With regard to the construction manager, that one, I see that is a partnership with the city. That person works directly for us. They're set on a fixed fee contract. So that fixed fee contract, they don't care what the project ends up being basically for cost, but what they're doing is they're looking out for our best interest. So that's where the benefit is for the city, is we have someone that's actually managing everything for us, and they're the ones that are looking out for the process to make sure that it comes in, we're getting the best we can. That one, I've seen those usually take less time because that construction manager is actually brought in earlier in the process. We can bring them in during the design process, we can bring them in now. And that construction manager is now involved day-to-day. Our decisions are being facilitated through that, so that can actually help to speed things up because that person is already involved as compared to waiting to the very end of the project. Then you bid it out. That's what a lot of times you run into the issue well, for $5 million over budget on a big project, and then you got to retool things that in your life. Construction manager can see that because he can start vetting things. So I am more inclined to lean towards construction manager. I know this is a smaller project, but it is still complicated enough. I think it would be judicial for us to look at that and consider construction manager.
Moving on this side.
Just one little thing. So if you're comparing these two, how do you get a, for me, how do I get a value of the cost? And, to, you know, if they're really close, then you do one versus the other. Will we have that ability to know that or not?
Not really, because the general contracting fee is all one, you know, it's all one cost. It's like it's going to be $5 million, and they might not necessarily break it out between how much they're paying each side. I mean, we could ask for some of that info, but it's kind of a black hole. With the construction manager, yeah, I mean, it would be a part of the contract. It would be there, either be fixed fee or like percentage based, or, you know, it would be known when you approve it. So I don't know if you guys have any other.
It's usually 99.9% of times construction manager charges a percentage. Industry standards between 4.5 and 7.5. And that's a fee that you pay right now. So you pay them as soon as partially upfront and then the project's done. That's one reason why we lean toward general contractors. That fee is absorbed by the general contractor. And to speak to Chris's thing, it's a very valid point. There's projects that I've dealt with, even in our city, where you get there and they'll put in cut rate materials or whatever else. The difference is on this one, between Steve and myself and our architects, we're going to have an excessively detailed plans, excessively detailed legend. I mean, down to the spec of the faucets we decided to have installed. I mean, everything, even the angle stuff, Joe. I mean, you know the difference. No cheap knockoff things. Everything's got to last and be of quality.
But on that, if I could?
Yeah.
If we're bidding it, we are bidding it through public bid processes, which allows for alternates. So they can put in submittals for an equivalent, since you're doing public bid, which means that they can actually substitute. So we have to be very, very careful not to accept something that is
stipulated. If you put in a standard, you put in a standard or like item or equal item, and it's got to be approved by the architect before they can put it in.
That's what we have to do, certainly. We're not going to anything.
No, that's all got to go through the submittal process and get approved by the architect and the city.
Yeah, and the only reason why we look to myself first and why I think in general contractors the way to go is because in general trade companies have relationships with general contractors and they have a set of client deals. So if you were to call, you know, an HVAC company and say, I would like this job done, you've never done work before, you're going to get the standard, this is my price, this is what it is. Whereas in a general contractor has dealt with this company for 25 years, they get the price where it's labor, material, and then maybe a cost of 10 to 15% on top. Maybe slightly more depending on who it is, but especially the larger companies, the price shrinks then. Because the general also wants to make money, so do the subs, but they say, hey, we got this project for $5 million, you need to cut off $10,000, you need to cut off $10,000, so that everyone makes money.
Well, plus the GCs usually have that relationship with the contractors where they can easier schedule everything, electricians, everybody work at the same time versus, not saying construction managers can't, but sometimes you will push back, the plumber didn't show up today, or the electrician didn't show up today, and now you're bouncing back and forth trying to manage that also.
And on top of that, one of the things too is if you have a construction manager, if there is a issue in the field or a large change, they might have to come here and say, if it exceeds the whatever threshold we put into their contract, if it say it's a $30,000 mistake, now construction stops until the next city council meeting. They have to come in here, they discuss with Bart, discuss with the mayor, and then probably bring a few, I'm not sure, legally and Kathy, what that would be, discuss with all of you, and then get to make a decision on that. So you lose 2 weeks in the project, and no guys are pulled off, and they don't all work for one company, so it's not like, take it back if you want the next project here on this one right now. It's kind of That stuff does tend to happen on bigger jobs.
But a big change like that should stop a general contractor too. If it's a deviation from the contractor, that's it.
Right.
That should stop the contract either way, or
it
the
should.
Process either way.
But if it's a general contractor, he has to eat that cost. If it's a construction advisor, then it has to come to us to offer, you guys to authorize that extra expenditure. Where if he makes that mistake on the bid, he eats it. So he's just gonna say, okay, do it. It comes out of my end of the day profit.
Any questions on this side over here? Any others? I want to just make sure everyone here has a chance. Jackie, anything today? Matt? Seaver? Ken, anything else? Chris, did you have anything else? I just want to give him a shout over here.
The only thing I'd like to get Chief's opinion on, and we got these, we got a group of questions that wouldn't like having Chief's opinion.
I've had experience with a construction manager, but my experience is very, very, you know, I'm a police officer, and that's what I do. So my experience with the CM was very, very good. I that's one that I understand more only because I've been so I really can't speak to the GC and do the comparative to it. I just know when I have a CM, I can trust that CM because of the relationship. Not that I couldn't have that with the construction or the general contractor either, so. Not sure if that answered your question.
No, okay.
Ken?
Just one other thing, it just dawned me up. So you talked about security issues like the police and for the records. But doesn't that come after the construction's done? You're not moving things in prior to them doing construction, are you?
So part of the issue that I had in my past has been when you have a firm prior to that firm or that company coming out doing the work, we always did a background check beforehand because they're dealing with our police facility, our jail. So if there was an individual who didn't pass the background check, they weren't allowed to work out of the
facility.
So
even though they haven't moved in, you still have phones on doors, stuff like that, where the electrician talks to the security company. In theory, information could be passed on.
Yeah. Okay. So workers expose walls. You know, they can put something on the walls. Listening devices, or it's those types of security.
That's what I was wondering. And I'm assuming on this project we'll do full background checks on the staff anyway, because even if they're just working on the third floor, they could wander downstairs during construction and still be in a secure, technically secure building.
It's the same reason why we don't hand out homeowners' plans. If you FOIA, if someone FOIA'd a house plan, we would give you the documentation on the inspections, and that we would not give the direct plans because a person that was looking can look at a construction plan and say, okay, if I come 3.5 feet off the side of this house, it's just Celtex and drywall. They're going to punch a hole right through that and walk on your house. We want them all vetted for anything they did within the city hall.
Okay. Ken, great question because I wondered the same thing. So when I was with the county, and this goes back to my years, I've had experience with both. Both can be positive. Like anything, there's pros and cons. Any other questions on this tonight? We will be discussing this again in 2 weeks, correct, Bart?
Yes.
Yes. And will we be looking to take action in 2 weeks? Or don't we know yet?
There's no developer deadline or anything, so it's just as soon as we want to move forward with the project.
Okay, excellent. Everyone okay with this discussion tonight? Awesome, thank you very much. So one other thing in this mayor's report, I didn't write this till now. I believe I brought this up, but just a reminder, the COVID clinic over at the new building at Prairie Point, that's why it's under here, Prairie Point, will be done the end of this month, and it's rapidly winding down. The number of people who have been getting shots there is just increasing steadily for the last several weeks, and it'll be moving to the health department. And I just want to thank you all again, because we bought that building on December 15th. Within 1 month, the county was up and going. I know the staff put a ton of time into it. Bart did, Jim did, and I tell you what, I just said to Jim today, I said, Jim, I haven't yelled at you in about a month, and about something at the COVID clinic. And he says, it's been kind of nice. But I want to thank you all because Kendall County, and I haven't checked in a week or so, but for the longest time, Kendall County was number one and getting people 65 and over vaccinated, number one in the whole state. We were there for weeks upon weeks. So, you know, we think all the crazy things we've had to discuss the last couple days on other issues. Let's not lose sight of the good things we've done as a community and you all as a council, because you gave the support, you bought that building, and when we said we wanted to go in there with the county, you all said, go right ahead, and I want to say thank you, because it's just been fantastic. And you look what's going on in the restaurants and the community and the businesses, and you can see it, people are starting to come out. And I'm excited, and that excitement's really going to bubble up on May 27th, Marguerite's Mile. So thank you all. Any additional business? Anything? Any citizen comments? None? Do we have executive session review of minutes? Oh wait, we did that in such detail last meeting. Mr. Merrick, would you like to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Thank you.
By Mr.
Thank you.
You're late, Mr. Peterson. Late for dinner. I heard eight yeses. Roll call. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you very much. And congratulations, Mr. Merrick. We're adjourned.